on ABC Radio.
This is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
Ahoy there, welcome aboard. We've got a cracking show for you on The Big Fish. We're going everywhere, from Bombo Beach to Bathurst and Boambi Creek, from the Turon River to Turos Head, from the Macquarie River to Coffs Harbour, covering a large slab of the state, from the beach to the bush. First cast, I check in with native fish lure and fly fanatics Jim and Dusty Squibb in the Central West, based out of Bathurst, to see if the rain has saved the day, with reports that the beautiful Turon River hasn't been flowing due to the lack of rain. But hopefully this latest drop will turn things around. All coming up on The Big Fish. It's The Big Fish, and rain brings life for our inland listeners on the west of the Divide. So many great streams, so many great rivers, the giant systems, the Murray-Darling. Unfortunately, the Central West has been in a real rain shadow and doing it very, very tough. And great fishers and conservationists, Jim and Dusty Squibb in the Central West, have been particularly worried about some of their local waterways. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Dusty.
Morning, mate.
How are you, Scott?
Yeah, good to see you again. I think last time was around the campfire at Winburndale.
Yes, it was, with the Macquarie perch.
Gee, we had a lot of fun there.
Yes, it was a good weekend.
Great company and great work. I mean, it does feel good to do something to help save a fish species that used to live in your part of the world, Jim and Dusty. I guess that's very rewarding in itself.
It is, mate, it is.
And maybe one day, Dusty, you'll be able to fly fish for a Macquarie perch and see it come up and sip a dry fly off the top and fight it, and maybe even if there are enough of them, fill it in the pan.
I don't know about that, Scott. It'd be the dream to catch one on the fly rod, but
it would be. Yeah, you'd probably let it back, knowing what's been done to try to bring them back from the brink. Well, it did bring them back from the brink of extinction in your Macquarie catchment, didn't it? The rain, has it helped out? I know you were down on the Turon, was it? And things were grim.
Yes, we got about 100 mil of rain, pretty widespread in the area. It brought the Macquarie River up. It's got a good flow in it at the moment, but it come up real fast and dropped. There were reports that because the Turon hasn't been flowing for 2 months, or over 2 months, there were reports that there was some water flowing in it, but I'd say it wouldn't have even filled the holes up. It would have stopped by now. I don't think it'll do the river too much good either. The water was very stagnant and yuck when we were down there last. So hopefully it doesn't push that yucky water through the holes and wipe more of the fish out.
Has there been evidence of any of the native fish being lost?
Yeah, there is. Well, I've got some photos on the weekend, some nice-sized cod between 800 and 900 long that were dead. And there's holes we walked along that we've caught some nice cod out of on the opening on the 1st of December. And these holes have no water in them, and some of the holes that do have water in them were that dry or that shallow that the carp hadn't even survived in there. So I'd say there's a pretty big loss in the Turon River from Sofala downstream of the native fish through this summer.
It's such a beautiful stream, isn't it, boys? It's just a fantastic stream. Upstream, when it's running and cool, you can sight fish giant brown trout, or used to be able to. Those native fish are now getting a real toehold, beautiful pools, riffles and runs, lovely bush all around it. It's just tragic to see it at a trickle like this. Is it just purely due to lack of rain?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's mainly lack of rain. We haven't had any. You know, there's the Turon is a fairly fast flowing river, so it rises and falls pretty quick. But it seems to be a common occurrence through our summer months now that it stops flowing for a little while, unless we have a really wet spring. Last year it stopped flowing for a fair bit too, till we got a bit of rain coming into the cooler months.
And what's the future for the cod in there? Are they native, or had a lot of those been stocked?
So a lot of them have been stocked. I can't remember the exact numbers, but there was 52,000, a mix of cod and yellowbelly, 52,000 released in the Macquarie, Turon and the Crudine in January this year. So there is a lot of stocking going on. Stocking helps, but it's sad to see these bigger fish not surviving these dry conditions.
Yeah, just doing a little bit of research there. They were suggesting that a Murray cod in that range, 80 centimetres to a metre, which is the magic mark, really, typically between 8 and 22 years of age, just depending on habitat and amount of food available, probably be a fairly good high growth rate stream for them, that one.
It would be. There's plenty of food in there, a lot of carp. There's a lot of shrimp, yabbies in there as well. So they do very well in there, but they don't do too well when the river stops running. But
it's the Big Fish, and we're in the Central West with Jim and Dusty Squibb, who are very keen fish conservationists and love their fishing as well. Dusty, have you caught some good ones out of there? And I know you like to try to catch them on fly, which is like giving yourself a 60-kilo handicap in the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, I've had some goes, a few good goes. Because of the river not running, hadn't had too much luck. I've caught a few really nice fish, but they're not in the greatest condition at the moment, just from the water. There being no water in the river. Other than that, it's been a pretty dead season.
I guess it's good, too, to leave them alone when it's really hot. You don't want to stress them out, eh?
Nah, when it's hot, it's better to leave them in the river. The water's that warm as it is that they just don't like to play anyway. And then if you pull them out of the water or even annoy them, it doesn't do them any favours at all.
And Jim, I know you're in touch with the local rural community. Rain of over 40 mils for a lot of places across the Central West. How are they accepting that?
Mate, they're loving the rain. The rain's doing the countryside wonders. Everybody's grass is starting to green up. The hills are greening up. It doesn't take very long after getting a few inches of rain to make the countryside start to look good. A few of the property owners I know are happy because their crops will go really well. Their winter crops gets a bit of food while there's still some warmth. Gets a bit of food growing for the stock as well. We just need a lot more to get these rivers pumping. We need 100 mil of rain every week for the next month to make a bit of a difference, I think.
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully we can get some big falls, but that's going to be a tall order. ABC, the Big Fish, we're speaking with Dusty Squibb and his dad, Jim. And those yellowbelly and cod, they move a long way, don't they? I mean, they do know how to restock when conditions are good. So is there hope for the future?
Yeah, there's always hope for the future. The constant stocking, as you just said, once the rivers rise, the fish will travel. As I said, we put the big numbers in again this year, or every year they go in. So it'll come back. We just need wet years. It's like the trout. 3 years ago, there was awesome trout fishing in the Turon, the upper Turon. But once the river stopped last year, that put a stop to it. The trout don't like that warm water and they don't like it if it's not running. So, but you'll get a wet season or two wet seasons and the trout will pick up again. It's just a cycle that we seem to be going through.
And it's a pretty decent river, the Turon, isn't it? It runs for a long way. I think it's about 117 k's, a perennial stream and a major tributary of the Macquarie River. So if it's down, the Macquarie's not getting that recharge either, isn't it?
No, it does run into the Macquarie a fair way down. But the Macquarie's been very low as well. We haven't had any in the Macquarie catchment up high, which is the Fish River and the Campbells River. They haven't had massive amounts of rain. They come from the Oberon area, so they get a little bit more rain up there. That's what's kept the Macquarie flowing, I suppose, is those two rivers. We definitely need more rain, and hopefully the Turon will pump in, after we get that rain, we'll get the fish will move and it'll get back to normal again, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope that's the case. And where can you go in the Central West when conditions are dire and the rain hasn't come?
Mate, dams pretty much. Waingwa Dam was still fishing pretty good as far as I know. Burrandong's been fishing pretty good. I haven't heard anything about Windermere Dam, the Yellow Belly over there. I'm not 100% sure. There was a reports of a few trout and bass being caught in Lake Lyle. So there's still fish around in the impoundments. It's just the rivers are doing it a bit tough.
And Wyangla's at 67%. It's a beautiful dam, isn't it? I mean, I love floating around on there or bank fishing. It's a mixed fishery as well. Have you been catching a few in there?
We haven't actually fished the dams for a fair while now. That'll start coming as it starts to cool down. I find fishing in the dams when it's really hot, especially when they're not full, because Wyangla, what'd you say, 67%?
Yeah.
I think Burrandong's down a bit too. It's a long way to find any shade when the dams have dropped that far, so usually start to get into the dam fishing as it cools down a bit more.
Well, it's something to look forward to, eh, Dusty?
Yeah, sure, Scott.
Good on you, mate. Well, hopefully that rain comes and saves your beautiful rivers. Tight lines, lads.
Cheers, mate.
Jim and Dusty Squibb there in the Central West, and the rain has been much appreciated, but they say we need a lot more to get the Turon back to its former glory.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
And coming up on The Big Fish, Botany Bay Bernie has changed his moniker. He's now Bombo Beach Bernie. He's had a bit of a sea change. Speaking of which, just a quick note for our 702 ABC Sydney listeners about a change coming next week. From next Saturday, this program won't be broadcast on 702 anymore, but you can still listen to us each week on the ABC Listen app. Just go to the ABC Sydney page and you'll find The Big Fish there under Catch Up. And if you'd like to listen live, you can also tune in from 5 a.m. on the ABC Listen app by selecting ABC Central Coast or ABC Illawarra or any one of the stations right across the state that take the show. And just to reassure you, it has nothing to do with ratings or how the program's performing. It's going really well. It's simply a programming change here at 702. So we'd really love you to keep joining us. Just find us on the ABC Listen app each Saturday, and we're also captured on the podcast after that for your listening pleasure.
Oh, good day, folks. Now, anyone that listens to the Saturday morning fishing program on the ABC, they will have heard of these two characters, Baitfish Bernie and Dogfish Dave.
Some say he was born while his mum was at sea. Some say he was born down at Circular Quay. He'd rather go fishing than work, rest or play. He's called Baitfish Bernie from Botany Bay. Now Bernie, he met up with old Dogfish Dave, and one day at work they were having a rave. Bernie says, "Dave, I've caught brim down the coast, and I'll catch anything, but I'm not one to boast." Old Dogfish, he knew that the challenge was made, and he's not one to shy from a challenge once laid.
"I'll catch you a flathead and raise you a brim. In fact, I can catch anything that can swim."
So they set off for Eden, the scene had been set, and the tussle was on once the lines had got wet. They hauled and they baited till dawn the next day, then went home exhausted, their catch to be weighed. The tally was made and the scales don't lie. The result, it was posted, it ended a tie. They both were astounded and had a close look. Then Bernie says, "Dave, tell me, how do you cook?"
"So much for the Waymaster."
So off to the task they had set for themselves, and down to the markets they cleared off the shelves, with eggs and with batter, spices and herbs. The feast that they cooked would be truly superb. The locals then feasted till all had their fill. With all satisfied, they were full to the gills. Time had now come for the people to vote, a difficult task when you're reeling with gloat.
"Oh, stinker, I think I'm gonna be sick."
"Me too, Snapper." "Oh!"
One of them fainted, another one burst. Others had stretch marks the length of their girths. Four went to hospital, feeling the pinch. Three were removed with the aid of a winch. The ruling no contest was promptly declared, and Baitfish and Dogfish were left in despair.
This must be decided before it strikes dawn.
We'll sleep on the matter, decide in the morn. Back at the camp as the both of them slept, the eggs they had eaten had taken effect. The crowd was awoke with a thunderous roar, as off to the toilet the both of them tore. Now a contest was on that could set them apart, and Dave gained an edge as he reeled off the fart. He reached the latrine and he slammed shut the door, and in one big swift motion he settled the score. Ah, yo-le-le-le. They both had agreed that the contest was won. The winner could now have his day in the sun. What was the trophy they gave Dogfish Dave?
What do you think, Bushy?
Oh, I don't know.
A gold plated turd title catch of the day. A gold plated turd title catch of the day.
And a little bit like the big fish making a bit of a tree change and sea change in New South Wales, Botany Bay Bernie has relocated, but he's made sure that the place he's gone to has that great alliteration too. Good morning, Bernie. Welcome back to the Big Fish.
Good morning, Scott. I think you can address me now as Bombo Beach Bernie.
Bombo Beach Bernie. How long have you been at Bombo Beach on the beautiful South Coast?
Relocated in June last year, so yes, it's coming up for about 8 months.
You're starting to get the fishing wired, Bernie.
Look, I started when I first got down. I wandered up and down Bombo Beach saying, you know, I can handle this. I've been a fisherman for the last 20 years on Botany Bay. But beach fishing's very, very different, more different than what I thought. You know, I mean, I have beach fished in the past, but it's always been for a bit of a laugh. But now that it's serious and I've got to put fish on the table, it's taken me a long time. In fact, it's only about a month ago where the penny dropped, and, you know, I'd have to give Dogfish Dave credit for tipping me over, just showing me a few little extra tips into how to get them off the beach.
And cracking that code, it's always a good thing locally to talk to those old-timers, blokes like Stinker and fellas you see wandering up with a bucket with tails hanging out of it. Have the locals been good to you?
Yeah, very good to me. Very approachable. At night time, there's a few regulars off the beach there, and I talk to them. But, you know, they're fishing for, well, Australian salmon is what you catch on Bombo Beach, and I've just proved it in the last few weeks when we've had some nice high tides in the morning, particularly after the last full moon. I've been catching Australian salmon. But the big trick is get behind the brake. And if you're not behind the brake, you're not catching fish, because in the front of it, they're just not there. And I'm not a huge guy, so having a rod that I can throw out over behind the brake was tricky. So I just wait for the conditions, the tide to be higher, so the waves are breaking closer to the shore. And as soon as I get behind there with the right rig, the right bait, which is whole pilchards, I'm onto it. I've caught flathead. I've caught plenty of the salmon. A few interesting other things too. So lots of sweep darts around.
Dart are a good little beach fish. They're a nice little eating fish, actually, the dart. We're speaking with Bombo Beach Bernie, who moved from Botany Bay, and he really had Botany Bay wired. He had some great drifts. He had some great techniques for catching lots and lots of flathead, mainly, I think, dusky flathead there. But you've been catching a few nice-sized sand flathead.
But, yes, I haven't seen any duskies yet, but I'm ready for them.
Now, the lagoon opened up, and this is a classic feature of South Coast beaches. There are a lot of icols, those intermittently closing and opening lake and lagoon systems, and yours is chock-a-block full of bait, prawns and potty mullet and all sorts of things. So I would think that a monster dusky flathead that's been up in there gorging will be on the beach next time you throw out a pilly. Mate, I don't think you've got long to wait. The conditions look good, is that right?
Yeah, look, I think you're dead right. The creek was full of life, as Dogfish proved. He came down and stayed a weekend at Bernie's, and he bought a fish trap. He bought a fish trap with him, and he just used bread for bait. And after half an hour, tiny little, you know, small potty mullet, you know, excellent for live bait. Yes, yeah, so it's opened up. It opened up the other day, like it opened up big time with the rain that we've had, and was gushing out yesterday morning. I had a great morning because it was open, but I was catching the salmon. I couldn't catch anything else.
So lots of fish cakes on the table for you, and they make terrific fish cakes. So we must stress that Dogfish Dave had a potty mullet trap, a legal potty mullet trap, which you can use, and you can make your own too. So that's perfectly legal. You can't use a cast net or anything like that, but you can pop in a potty mullet trap to the specs that you'll find on the fisheries, DPI Fisheries website. And they're a terrific bait. I mean, putting one of those on live, I don't know, it's not long before you'll tangle with a big mulloway or a very large flathead, I reckon, Bombo Beach Bernie.
Yes. Now, I'm looking forward to it, but I was surprised how long it took me to convert from the bay to the beach. It's a different science. Things I first started going for was beach worms, because beach worms are excellent, particularly if you want to catch whiting or the flathead off the beach. But I can't find them on Bombo. I've wandered up and down with my stocking full of pilchards, rubbing the sand, and nothing's popped its head out. So I don't know if they're not there or I'm, you know, using the wrong phase of the moon or what. But
you should see him, folks, too, when he's wearing his stockings full of pilchards. It's quite a sight to see on the beach.
Well, you got to rub tuna oil on your legs first, Scott.
That's right, to attract the worms. Attract the worms.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's great that you're enjoying it, and it's great that the locals have really embraced you too and shared some of the tips. And it's a different sort of beach than some of the other beaches. They're all individual, aren't they? But some have bars way out the back and then gutters in close. Others are more literal, I think it is, and they sort of shelve off. And then, as you say, your one has more activity the deeper it gets behind the bank. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's got a real character, Bombo. It's you've got to read it. You've got to read it well. The north end and the south end are very different. It's a fairly big beach. People would know it when they drive down the south coast, you know, heading towards Kiama. The beautiful beach with the cemetery on one side and the train station in between it. But it is a different science altogether. It's taken a while. I have to credit Dogfish for tipping me over there. But now I'm onto it. Really pleased, and so's the missus.
It's such a safe and relaxing way to fish. There's a lot of great rock fishing there, but if you want to just relax and look at the stars and catch plenty of fish, then the beach is the go, isn't it? So you've found yourself in heaven there, mate, I think on the south coast, and tight lines to you, Botany Bay, now Bombo Beach Bernie.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's always a pleasure to chat to you.
Thanks for joining us on The Big Fish. And look out, coming up, Stinker's heading for Warren and Gilgandra to tackle the mighty Macquarie River and maybe a Murray cod. And we'll see if Kendall Kramer has broken her duck when it comes to surface luring whiting. It's all coming up on The Big Fish.
I'm gonna go fishing, that's what I do. Think about nothing, not even you. Catch me a big one, fine speckled trout. Snap in the water, I pull her right out. Deep in the water, down go the line. Catch me a good one, taste it for fried. Play out my reel now, just how I feel now. I'm on a steer right now, gonna catch me a trout. Yeah, I'm gonna go fishing right now. Yeah, I'm gonna go fishing.
On ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Get out of it, bloody seagulls.
The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Here comes Stinker with his fishing tips. Some hot advice for your fishing trip. Where to find him? What's the bait?
Are you catching any, mate?
It's a real outback special this morning on the Big Fish. Been on the Turon River, which is flowing again, and Stinker is having a fishing trip. He's having an outback adventure or a bush adventure. There's nothing like going on a fishing trip. Stinker, it's the best thing to do on a Saturday morning, isn't it?
Oh, we're on our way to the Macquarie River west of Warren. But at the moment, when I'm speaking to you, it's the morning. We're heading towards Merriwar up the Hunter Valley. And this course is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I love the smell of the bush. I mean, when you go over the Great Dividing Range and you get on the other side of the Great Dividing Range, it's just so beautiful, and you feel free, and there's room to move, and the country's in great shape. But oh, gee, I'm really looking forward to this evening when we make camp. We're just going to camp on the riverbank. There's 8 of us all together. And I'm actually taking a fishing rod and a few lures. So I'm going to actually do something I've never done before, and that's fish in the river with lures. Like I said, we've always done it. There are quite a few trucks on the road this morning, so you can probably pick them up in the background. But, yeah, so that's what's happening. I'm going to toss a few lures this evening. The fire, we've got to have a little fire going, and then we're going to have our lamb chops on the barbie. Oh, gee, a couple of coldies. Fair dinkum. I absolutely love this sort of stuff.
Life doesn't get better than that, Stinker, and that rain has been an absolute godsend. We heard from Dusty and Jimmy Squibb earlier in the program about how it's brought life back to the Turon River, which should stop flowing, and sadly some of the big cod had died. That's a tributary of the Macquarie, where you're going. But Merriwar, isn't it a beautiful town?
It is, and there are other ones along the way, like Denman, Dunedoo. They're all got their own character. But I think back to when I first went out to teaching, my first teaching appointment, and I've mentioned it before, was at Gilgandra. And I remember going out onto the river system when I was teaching there, and what we would target was yellowbelly. And yellowbelly was a fish that you were most likely to catch, and catfish. So it was basically yellowbelly and catfish. And now that's not the case. There was no carp. In 1970, I never saw a carp or even heard of a carp. And we never, ever caught a cod. But now, what all the talk about now is cod, and more cod. And also the possibility of gee, there's a lot of trucks on the road. it's a busy side. I'm right on the side of the road, so the trucks are just about running me.
They work hard, those truckies, Stinker. They're listening into the Big Fish, and the place would grind to a halt without them. So we love you all, and we need what they do for us. The most dangerous job, sadly, too. So take care, all of those truckies. We're speaking to Stinker, who's on the way to a bush river fishing experience, and you've got to stop at the pub before you get there, haven't you, Stinker?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good heavens. It's part of the tradition that anyone who's leaving Gilgandra to head west fishing, first stop is the Colai Hotel between Gil and Warren. And interestingly, and I always love to delve into the history of these places, but my mother-in-law, when she came to Australia, that was her job. She was a cleaner at the old Colai pub. And this is going way back, way, way back to the 1950s. And so, and of course, the Colai pub, for anyone who knows that area, has changed position. Colai was a station, a sheep for sheep. And the pub there now is on the main drag. Well, before it wasn't. But we're going to stay there, have a counter lunch and a few beers before we head off further west. So I love to delve into the history of these places at the same time that I'm learning how to catch fish out in the bush. But normally it's more of a social gathering, as I mentioned last week. But there's always the chance. And the people I'm going with are very, very good fishers in the bush. So that pretty much guarantees you catch one or two anyway.
That's the way they'd probably put out a Bardi grub, wouldn't they?
Oh, look, I'm not sure. They contacted me yesterday and said, look, we've got all the bait we need. I reckon they'll use probably yabby or crayfish, and maybe a Kurrajong grub. One bloke, I'm going to see him today in Gilgana. I'm going to drop in and see him on the way. But he swore that the best bait, bar none, for any of these, to catch a cod, was a boiled egg. And I said, oh, right. I said, how on earth do you get that on your hook? And he showed me how you put it on a hook, and you shove the hook through the boiled egg, and then you tie the hook on after. Anyway, I said, how many of your cod have you caught on a boiled egg? He said, oh, none. He said, but I'm told it's a good bait.
Anyway, you can always have a few egg sandwiches around the fire washed down with a cold beer.
That's right. Yeah, so boiled eggs, we'll have a few boiled eggs. worms, of course. Worms are always a good bait to catch anything. But they also use Glock cheese. Oh, a motorbike. Can you hear all this noise?
Oh, I could hear that. That was an early Harley Davidson rider, I would reckon.
Yeah.
Stinker, it's the Big Fish with John Stinker Clark as he heads over the range. He's at Merriwar at the moment on the way to a fishing adventure west of Gilgandra with his mates. And what about sleeping arrangements, Stinker, when you're on the riverbank? Have you worked that out?
Yeah, lay on the ground.
A rock for a pillow, eh?
A rock for a pillow, unroll your sleeping bag, crawl in there, and just look at the stars. See, there's something else. Yeah, there's more stars out here. I don't know where they come from, but there's more stars in the bush than there are on the coast. And it's just a lovely experience to lay back and the peacefulness and stare up into the sky and just look at the stars. But, yeah, so I'm really, really looking forward to it. But 2 or 3 days and I'll be satisfied. Then back to the coast, back in Stinkpot, and then off to Broughton Island for a few days, and then over to WA for a few days over there too. So I've got a pretty busy schedule, and it's all about having fun, which I like to do. So, and it's all based around fishing, you know that? Everywhere I go and everywhere, it's all got something to do with fishing. So that's the greatest. So I'm very thankful for my family to bring me up in a fishing family. As long as I can remember, fishing's been a massive part of my life, and that still remains the case.
And I think we've got to remember too, with most of the population huddling along the coast, that it's a big part of the lives of people west of the divide as well. It's very important to have access to those rivers and for those rivers to be healthy and flowing. And I know the federal government is still sitting on their hands in regards to a decision on releasing that carp virus, and we'll leave that to greater brains than ours, John, to work out whether it's viable or not. But I know some people in the bush are cheering them on to hopefully do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that those in the bush that I know who go fishing are very happy because the cod have never been better. And so that's because of, I should say, seeding of the rivers. I don't know much about that, but all I know is that the fishers in the bush are very happy with the way things are going. And that's all good news too, because it's such a waterway. I mean, the Darling River, I travelled it once by myself. I just jumped in a little van and drove down the Darling. And I come back and I was a little bit downhearted because the Darling didn't look too good. There was not much water in it. But our inland river systems are so beautiful, and all the bird life and the kangaroos and whatever else hopping around. Yeah, everyone should take time out to go and sniff the roses in the bush, I reckon.
For sure. And you're going to go a bit modern on them to throw a few lures. You're going to try to catch one in the high-tech world.
Well, I've got the greatest collection of lures you could ever possibly imagine because I've never used them. And people send me, they say, try this and try that. And even at one stage, you know, I got into my own lures, stinker lures, and I produced over 100 of these things, and they were mainly for flathead. But I've only got two or three left, so I'm taking out a few stinker lures and see how we go. But, yeah, that must have been 15 to 20 years ago. We produced about 150 stinker lures, and I've got three left. So let's see what happens.
Good luck. I hope you get one on a lure stinker, but I love that philosophy that you've got a great collection because you don't lose them and you don't use them.
they're all got dust on them. They're all got dust on them, Scott.
Well, you might be able to wash a bit of that dust off in the mighty Macquarie River at Warren, and we'll get a report when you get back, John.
Yep. Next week I should have quite an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, and look, I won't be disappointed if you didn't catch any because that's usually the case.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I simply don't care because I'm going to have a good time regardless.
Have a beaut time and good luck out there. Thanks for the report on the way, John.
Hooray, Scott.
The mighty John Stinker Clark there, heading west on the Big Fish. Just a quick note for our 702 ABC Sydney listeners about a change coming next week. From next Saturday, this program won't be broadcast on 702 anymore, but you can still listen to us each week on the ABC Listen app. Just go to the ABC Sydney page and you'll find the Big Fish there under Catch Up. And if you'd like to listen live, you can also tune in from 5 a.m. on the ABC Listen app by selecting ABC Central Coast or ABC Illawarra, or any one of the stations right across the state that take the show. And just to reassure you, it has nothing to do with ratings or how the program's performing. It's going really well. It's simply a programming change here at 702. So we'd really love you to keep joining us. Just find us on the ABC Listen app each Saturday, and we're also captured on the podcast after that for your listening pleasure.
I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Up beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man. With hand light rods or spears, man. I fished everywhere. I caught pinkies, kingies, dragon whiting, black brim, blackfish when they're biting, flathead, flounder, pike and hake, blue pointers, tiger sharks, that's flake, redfin, yellow belly, marigold, tarpon, brown trout, rainbows, even had a carp on.
Yeah, but what kind of bait?
Fresh spawn, spivvies, crabs and cungy, beach worms, sandworms, sperma, spongy, white bait, froggies, nippers, yabbies, ockies, squidgies, potties, crabbies, pilchards, mussels, cabbage, weed on, all the stuff fish love to feed on. I'll try any bait, mate, to get fish on a plate, mate. I fish at early light, mate, and sometimes through the night, mate. I catch and then release, mate. Yes, I've fished everywhere.
Yeah, but name is a couple of spots, mate.
Cape York, Cooktown, Collaroy, Naruma, Mossman, Maryborough, Western Port and Cooma, Noosa, Bribey, Coolum, Gatticoolum, Harvey Bay, Byron Bay, Bowen and Maroolan, Brisbane, Gisborne, Bundaberg and Bunbury, Portland, Shark Bay, boy, I'm in a quandary. Darwin down to Perth, mate, on a boat where there's a berth, mate, on a four-wheel in the outback, I'm set to hit the road, Jack, on a rock ledge when the tide's slack, yes, I've fished everywhere.
Crikey, anywhere else?
Tweed to Servers, Ballina to Bundigo, to Darwin, the Reefs, Whitsunday, Gosford, Tarry, Wyndham, Warragamba, Burrinjuck, Tulibuck, Laurenton, Yamba, Frankston, Brighton, Air Tasmania, Esperance, Albany, guess I got a mania. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man. Whether handline rods or spears, man. Yes, I fished everywhere. Fished here, there, everywhere. I fished everywhere. Gotta see your license, mate.
It's the Big Fish, and last time we spoke to Kendall Kramer from Coffs Harbour, she was heading down to the south coast to see if she could catch her first whiting on lure at the Ting X competition put on by the Women's Recreational Fishing League. And I was just saying to Joe Starling, the founder, Kendall, that this might be a first. I don't think I've ever heard of a lure-only whiting fishing catch and release tournament.
Yeah, I think you'd be right, mate. I haven't heard of one either. We're, you know, trendsetters up in this place.
You are. Did you break your duck?
I did catch one little baby one. I dipped straight into the nursery of 20 centimetres and that was in my last session of the tournament. I guess, as most people know, when you're tournament fishing, it can take a couple of days to figure out a new waterway. I probably should have gone down a little bit earlier and had a couple of days, but, you know, have to go to work.
That's right. That's we caught you in transit last week. You were heading down the M1. You were stopped by a big traffic jam there, a tragic truck driver, fatal actually, which was really sad. And then when you got to the other side of Sydney, you hit another traffic jam. So you've spent hours and hours and hours commuting down to Turos Head. Is that right?
Yeah, Turos Heads, where Joe and Steve actually live. It's the first time that we had gone down and inspected their little area in the world, and it was just beautiful. Their waterways are incredible. There's so many different areas to go fishing and different types of fish that swim around in the Turos Lake and the river. It was just fantastic.
And it's a great system for flathead and brim and whiting and EPs. You've got everything there. But it's a recreational fishing haven, is it? I think it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the mulloway too. There was so many mulloway coming out of that system on that weekend, and it was really, really good to see. Some undersized, but there were some bigger ones as well, and some really, really nice deep holes in the basin there. So I think that people do really, really well on the mulloway and definitely the flathead. On one of the pre-fishing days, Rose, who actually won champion mentor in our Ting X tournament, she actually hooked onto a really, really nice flathead, and she put it right to the boat, and she was fishing on her own, and unfortunately she lost it.
So that took one of the lures supposed to be for a whiting.
Yeah, she was. She was out there pre-fishing for whiting, and then miraculously she threw the line back out again, and she hooked the same fish again and brought it back to the boat side. And, unfortunately, fishing on her own as well. She was unsuccessful in boating the fish, but she said it's the best one she's ever had on her line.
Oh, some of those walking the dog lures can be close to $30. I hope it didn't bite her off.
No. It was just, unfortunately, not very committal, unfortunately. Yeah. So
came unpinned.
Yeah.
Nah. It's great to see that fishery is going so well. Clear water, but it does rely, fishing that very clear water in the front of the estuary there particularly, it does rely on a bit of a breeze, doesn't it? For a start, you cover more fish with the surface lures, but also it covers you a bit. They're a bit wary when it's really flat and clear, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wasn't successful in actually catching a whiting until my last session, like I said, and that was in a little bit more murky water where we did find a little bit of breeze. But all weekend, it was such beautiful weather. It was overcast, but you know, that's okay. Sometimes that's better because it's not so hot and you don't get to the end of the day with heat exhaustion. So that was good. But yeah, the wind just completely dropped off and we really didn't have any shelter from, you know, the calm glass out on top of the water. So they were very skittish and we had quite a lot of strikes between all the ladies in the comp and so many missed fish, more missed fish than we caught, because they were just non-committal and they were really, really hard to really hook on our lures. And we were using assist hooks and everything to try and get the best out of our bite. And it was just a really hard weekend. But, you know, nonetheless, as they say, a bad day's fishing is better than a good day at work. So
absolutely. It's the Big Fish. We're speaking with Kendall Kramer, who's just back from the Ting X, the whiting surface lure and lure fishing tournament at Turos Head. I know a few estuaries like that where you see so many more than you catch, and particularly if it's calm, it's so tough.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of action, actually, more so in the murky water. We were, in the first session, went up to the boat shed to grab a coffee. Joe was pretty keen to show us a few things on the tourist side of things as well. So we went up to the boat shed and in the beautiful historical buildings up there with, you know, heritage listing, can't do anything to them. So we went up there for a coffee and to learn a little bit of history as well. And while we're up there, we had a little fish up in the clear water. And unfortunately, there was not a hell of a lot of action going on the clear water. And we had to venture back up the river a little bit to find where the action was heading. So yeah,
that's interesting. So you didn't spot lots on the flats?
No, not up in the clear water. We really had to venture into the more murky, not quite brackish, but just a little bit more murky up up in the basin. But yeah, the clear water was really tame. There wasn't much going on there. Beautiful swimming, but in the way of fishing, there wasn't a lot.
And the biggest whiting caught was one to brag about. Any whiting over 40 centimetres is a fabulous fish. Caught and released. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that 41-centimetre whiting was caught by Rose Watanabe. She was, as I mentioned before, was our champion mentor over the weekend. And she had a lady by the name of Monica in her boat as her mentee. And they hooked on to that fish for 41 centimetres. And basically, probably within the first 2 hours of fishing, I would say, that was caught, which, you know, as you know, we'd get onto the app and see what people were catching, and it was incredible. We were like, oh my God, that's so cool that they've caught a 41 centimetre whiting, and we were so keen for the rest of the tournament, thinking that, you know, it was just setting the scene. But I think Rose just had it all over us. She just knew what she was doing that weekend.
That's a stonker whiting. Any whiting over 40 centimetres is a real trophy. They don't get much bigger than that. They really don't. And they fight really hard as well. What did you learn about technique when it comes to lure fishing for whiting?
Yeah, we really had a hard time with that, I suppose, with the walking the dog and trying to cast a long distance because of having no wind behind us. It was quite difficult to actually get our lure out far enough. So that was probably good in a sense, because when the ladies are challenged with things like that, it gives you the opportunity to really hone in and practice your technique. And when you do catch the fish, even if it's an undersized fish, the reward is knowing that you're doing the right thing. And that's what's beautiful. And then as soon as you actually get to the ground where you've got some bigger fish, that's when you get rewarded, when they come in. And that's what Rose did. She was using her little sugar pen reels, lures, and she'd chucked that out and was just walking the dog, and bam, that 41 centimetre whiting. Really wanted to commit, not like the others.
Will you, now that you've got a bit of a lure box stocked with surface lures for whiting, and don't worry, platen and brim eat them just as well, and everything else eats them, will you be a bit of a whiting lure fishing devotee? The Nambuck is great, just down the road from you. It's a brilliant fishery for luring whiting.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bowambi right near me as well. So I am absolutely super, super keen to get back into my own rivers and throw some of those lures about and see what I can do, because I know how these rivers work up here. And that was the first time I'd fished in Turoff. So it was a little bit harder for me to figure out where everything was and how the fish were reacting to different things in that system. So I am pretty keen to get out there and give it a crack with all the things that we've learnt with, you know, the surface lures for whiting and some of the subsurface as well. So we had a few things, like I actually had a little soft plastic nipper that I was throwing around a little bit. Wasn't successful, but I'm actually pretty keen to go and try with that on the weed beds and stuff like that in Bowambi Creek, because there's so much action that goes on in those weed beds when we're out crabbing and stuff like that. We're always seeing whiting and mullet and you know, those faster fish chasing things along those weed beds, and the little prawns jumping out of the weed beds and things like that. So that's going to be exciting to go and have a crack with these new techniques that we've learned with, you know, the walking the dog and all of the little tiny baby poppers and stuff like that.
They work. Don't worry, they work. Hey, tight lines, Kendall. Good luck with it. It's a great learning curve, even if you didn't win the comp and didn't crack a legal size whiting. At least you got one on surface lure.
Oh, you can't win them all, mate. That's just life.
Yeah, but you've learned so much, and I reckon you'll smash them. You'll smash them in your local Coffs Harbour estuaries now that you've got the technique worked out. The old walking the dog, it takes a fair bit of rhythm, and once you get addicted to it, you'll get RSI of the elbow. That's tennis elbow. That's what happened to me. Tight lines.
We did. I guarantee we all had that by the end of the weekend.
Tight lines, Kendall Kramer.
Thanks, mate, and talk to you soon.
Kendall Kramer just back from Turoff on the south coast with Joe Starling and the crew in the Women's Recreational Fishing League. having a crack at the Ting X competition. I think it's the only whiting lure catch and release competition I've ever heard of. Maybe you do it. Let me know if your club or group is into that as well.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.